You became full-time principal of Beth Sholem in 1942.
Yeah, and stayed there until 1944 when the Hebrew Institute moved to Squirrel Hill. At that time, I was invited to become the activities director of the Hebrew Institute.
What did that consist of?
Activities director. You name it, that's what I was. I worked in everything from transportation, that was an activity, to classrooms, to audio visual aids, to developing the library, to club groups. It was a 7-day a week job, and I was busy 7 days. We started up the preschool classes at that time, and that was one of my responsibilities. And we started the day camp, and that was another of my responsibilities. And we began to enlarge the board, and that was another of my responsibilities. So we were kept busy.
How did it differ from your work with Beth Sholem?
Well,
tell us what your work at Beth Sholem consisted of.
Yes, well, in the last several years at Beth Sholem, I also became the principal of the Sunday school as well. And my work at Beth Sholem was, one might say, strictly of an educational nature. More limited in scope than the work at the Hebrew Institute, because at the Hebrew Institute, in effect, I was given carte blanche, and I was told, go out and develop programs. And that was my job, to develop and to develop. So, whereas at Beth Sholem at the time had a very small library, my function here was, let's say, to develop the library. And my function here was to become as innovative as possible. So we started, for example, to develop an arts and crafts program as part of our Hebrew school. We got then the late Gertrude Nachman as our arts and crafts specialist, and we brought in a music specialist. We began to develop clubs that met after school and on Sunday, and we evolved a transportation program that we did not have, let's say, at Beth Sholem, not to that extent. And we developed the student congregation. At that point, the Young People Synagogue emerged out of the alumni group of the Hebrew Institute. It's been in existence ever since. And then we revived the Histadrut Ivrit, the Hebrew-speaking group for adults. And then my job at the time involved board relations, trying to expand the board, meeting with the board. So it ran the whole gamut of operations.
Did when did you get your other degree?
All right. When I came to the Hebrew Institute in 44, I immediately went back to school. And I enrolled in the School of Education, Department of Elementary Education, in 48. I received a master's degree in elementary education from Pitt. And then, in 1952, I received the doctorate degree in elementary education, also from Pitt.
1952?
52. At one point in my life, I think it was in the year 1948, I took 5 subjects in the spring semester. Five subjects in the fall semester, 5 subjects in the spring semester, and 3 subjects in the summer semester, all while holding down a full-time job. I don't think there was any night that I got more than 5 hours sleep that year.
Do you remember about the health and medical care facilities, services available when you were a child?
You mean to myself personally?
Or your family?
They were always good. Always good. I had, personally, an excellent physician, Dr. Grecken, who happened to be our neighbor across the street. And I know his daughter, Marcella, to this day. So we did have excellent care. We had an excellent eye man. He was a member of the board of the Hebrew Institute. Dr. Samuel Eber. And we received excellent care there. My mother was, as long as I remember, was a sick woman. And she received excellent care from Dr. Grecken and from other physicians whose names I probably have forgotten. I remember as a boy she was operated on a number of times. She did receive excellent care.
And during your adolescent years, what kind of fun and recreation did you have?
I'd say I had a lot of it. In my spare time, I used to go up to the Shenley Field, which was down a couple of streets and up a couple of streets, especially on weekends. Friday afternoons, I'd play. Shabbos afternoon, I'd go out and play. And Sunday afternoon, I'd go out and play. Later on, I became a member of the YM and WHA. And I think at the age of 15, 16, I'd spend an awful lot of time at the Y on Friday and Saturday, Friday afternoon and Saturday afternoon, going swimming, playing basketball.
But your family did not restrict your activities on the
family. Oh, no, they encouraged it.
And would you tell us about meeting your wife?
When I was your parents.
Yes. First of all, we don't have your wife's name.
All right. My wife's maiden name was Esther Natalie Safian.
How do you spell Safian?
S-A-F-Y-A-N. She was born in Pittsburgh.
Can you tell us the year?
Yes, she was born September 2nd, 1915. She's a graduate of Taylor Alderdice. She's a graduate of Whiteman School, Taylor Alderdice High School. In those days, Carnegie Tech, she's a graduate of Margaret Morrison School of, what is it, Secretarial Services?
Okay.
She was secretary of the School of Social Work at the time of our marriage. And she worked until 1942.
How did you meet her?
I first caught sight of my wife in Atlantic City when I was 15 and she was 13. And she stopped at the same, our families both stopped at the old Esplanade Hotel in Atlantic City. It happened to be a kosher hotel. And I guess we spent some time together on the beach, I'm sure we did. I got to know her family. Then we went back to town and I didn't see her again until the night of my graduation from high school. And she and her friend, Selma Solo, who now lives in Washington, PA. You know, Irv.
She's my cousin.
Well, you know, Irv Adorf, attended the graduation of our class. They didn't go because of me, but they had some girlfriends. And after the graduation, Selma and Esther came up and congratulated me. Well, I couldn't let it go at that, you know. So we began to see each other. But we didn't get married for 7 years. It was a courtship of 7 years.
And you were married what year?
In 1938.
And do you have children?
Yes. We have one son. Ivan S., named after a family name, Ivan S. Abrams.
And when was he born?
Ivan was born August 28th, 1947, 9 years after we were married. And would you like to know about him?
Of course.
All right. Ivan is presently a lawyer. He passed his bar exams last October after graduating from the law school of the University of Pittsburgh.
Had he gone there for his undergraduate work?
Yes, Ivan. Ivan attended Falk School, and then he went to Taylor Alderdice, and he graduated Alderdice. I'm trying to recall the year. It probably was 66, 1966. Though he was not an honor student, he received the highest score in Allegheny County in the National Merit Exams. And after graduation, he entered Pitt. At Pitt, he was extremely active. He was president of Students for Pitt, photography editor, photo editor of the Pitt News, features editor of the Pitt News, and following graduation from Pitt, he worked for QED for a year. And following that, he went to Israel, and he was in Israel for a year, where he worked for Hebrew University as a photographer. And while in Israel, he became engaged to another Pittsburgher, Joan Honig, who was teaching in two different schools in Jerusalem. Joni has been our daughter-in-law, has been in Israel really for a longer period than Ivan. He's been there for a total of 2.5 years. Interestingly, Ivan and Joni were both in the same class at Alderdice, but didn't know each other well. So they came back, engaged at the end of the year. And we're married. It will be 5 years in September. We're married in Temple Sinai. When they came back, Joni began to teach. Joni secured a position at South High. And Ivan entered the Graduate School of Public and International Affairs. He did not find it to his liking, he secured a position at Pitt at that time as a communications specialist, so he worked for the year at Pitt in communications, which means photography and the like. And the following year, he entered the University of Pittsburgh Law School. He took his preliminary law exams in the spring of that year and had an extremely high score and was admitted within a week.
I wonder.
Ivan, in his final year in law school, was one of the two winners at Pitt of the Gourley trial competition. He and the editor of the Law Review were the two finalists in the moot court competition, and they represented Pitt against Duquesne Law School and West Virginia Law School, and they won. And that, I think, is the competition for the Gourley Prize. I think on that basis he was accepted by the district attorney as a young DA. And right now he's having the time of his life trying cases every day in court.
And he is what, an assistant?
He's an assistant district attorney.
What did his religious school consist of?
Ivan went to the Hebrew Institute, and he started at the age of 8, continued approximately the age of 15. He has the distinction of being a member of the United States Steelworkers. He worked on the railroad when he graduated high school for a whole summer. It's for I don't recall the name of the railroad, but it was a subsidiary of U.S. Steel. And he was the fellow who, in the middle of the night, used to wave these lanterns. You see them. And then he worked in the poverty programs on the north side, helped establish a cooperative. Oh, yes, in the year when she graduated, he put a knapsack on his back and went to Europe. And unbeknownst to us, he landed in Israel. And he travels a great deal, or did travel a great deal. He drove across country once. And he's a great railroad fan, a lot of railroad fan too. He's gone across country on the railroads twice in the United States and twice in Canada. And he actually builds monorail railways. In fact, there's an interesting story. I don't know whether you want to record this or not. But he was offered a job in Washington before he took the job as assistant DA. His job was assistant director of the National Association of Railroad Passengers. And he went to Washington, and he was there for 4 days. When he received a call from the district attorney's office, "Ivan, are you still interested in becoming a district attorney?" He says, "Yes." He says, "Be back here Monday." So he had this job for 5 days in Washington. And with the consent of his boss, they agreed that this was a better job, and he wanted to be a trial lawyer, so he came back. I think that's a beautiful story.
Where did you, you and your family live after you were married?
Oh, yes. We lived at the Jefferson Apartments on Forward Avenue. And we stayed there for 5 years. And after 5 years, we moved into my in-law's family residence on Darlington Road, 5731 Darlington. At that point, my father-in-law had unfortunately passed away. My mother-in-law was a widow. A fire had occurred in the home, and the home was, which was a single home, single-family home, was remodeled into two apartments, and my mother-in-law had the apartment above, and we had the apartment below. We lived there for 18 years. You want to hear about my father-in-law?
Sure.
My father-in-law was a man in the real estate business. In his earlier years, he and his wife had operated a bar in 7 Mile Run, I think that's what it's called.
We need their names.
Well, Israel and Eva Safian. Israel Safian was born in Russia. He was a learned Jew. Spoke Hebrew fluently. Was an observant Jew. He was one of the founders of the Beth Shalom congregation. He was an officer of the Beth Shalom congregation. I think a treasure in its very early days. He was chairman of its school committee for several years. He was a past president of the Jewish National Fund of Pittsburgh. Was active in the Zionist district. Died in 1942.
Are you still living on Darlington?
No, we moved to Plainfield Street in 1958, where we resided continually, or continuously since. We began to talk of my education. We never concluded it.
Right. We're okay. 1 degree short.
We're 2 degrees. You're 1 degree short, right.
Yeah, we're
interestingly
four.
Enough, in 1970, I felt myself getting rather stale. And decided that I was going to go back to school. I was no youngster then. And I chose the Graduate School of Public and International Affairs because I felt that the approach of that school would be germane to work in the field of education. So gingerly, you know, I sort of put my toe in the water and took a course and found that I liked it and found that I could still compete with some of the people who were 20 years younger than myself. So I applied for admission as a part-time student and was accepted. And it took me 5 years to get the degree of Master of Public Administration. My coursework was completed within 2.5 years or 3 years. I found that school, incidentally, to have an excellent faculty, fine faculty, and in some ways it was the most difficult school that I had ever been in. It was more demanding in terms of the work that they expected than anything I had experienced before. And I don't think it was necessarily the fact that I was somewhat older than I had been before. But the preparation at home required a tremendous amount of reading and research. Let me simply illustrate. There was one course with a Dr. Thayer that required the reading of one book a week. And that book could be well over 300 pages. And it required also a report and the ability to discuss it. Naturally, it was a seminar, and there were relatively few people in the course. But it demanded 9-10 hours of work every week at night. And then, in addition to that, preparation of papers. But if one wanted to do it seriously and to keep up with the work, one had to really involve himself. So it was a great experience for myself. I selected a subject for my master's thesis that took 2 years. And really what I'm leading to is my involvement in the Board of Public Education. At this point in my life, I became involved in the...
Let's just make sure we haven't... Okay.
I became involved in the Squirrel Hill Urban Coalition, or the incipient Squirrel Hill Urban Coalition.
This would be around 1970?
Yes. At this time, people were talking about an organization that was needed in Squirrel Hill. The Urban Coalition, I don't think, was organized until, 72? But there were meetings with Elaine Rosen and with others. And when I had completed or amassed enough credits to begin thinking about a thesis, at that time the coalition was organized, and I kept hearing statements at the coalition such as the future of Squirrel Hill is dependent upon the quality of public education in Squirrel Hill, and this was said over and over again. And so I said, gee, it would be great if we could really study the quality of a public education in Squirrel, if we really knew what the test scores were. And at this point, no one seemed to know how the kids were doing in the school. There was criticism of the school, course. But no one really knew, were the kids achieving well or were they not achieving well in comparison with other cities. So I selected as my topic the subject of a study of public elementary education in Squirrel Hill. But it had to be a study of the process rather than a study per se. Otherwise, it would not have been accepted by GISPIA, as the school was known, GSPIA. That study took me 2 years, and the reason for it was that I ran into a recalcitrant public school administration. At first, the public school administration agreed to provide us with all the information, and then it began to have second thoughts, and it hedged. And months went by, and the coalition came to the point where it was actually ready to sue the Board of Public Education to pry out from it the information as to the Metropolitan Achievement Test. So a whole year went by, and I don't want to say wasted. It wasn't wasted, because our correspondence was voluminous. We had well over 56 contacts with the board in a period maybe of 6-8 months. Finally, in the summer of the year 1974, the board finally agreed. Or was it 73? 73. The board... It was 74.
No, I'm wondering about the children on the tape recording.
In 1974, the board agreed to give us the statistics. And so I was able to write my thesis, which was subsequently accepted by the faculty. That's how I got involved, I suppose, in public education. And... I suppose that's how I ultimately got on the Board of Public Education.
You have been on the board how long?
I've been on the board since the middle of November. I was appointed by the judges of the Court of Common Pleas. There were a number of us appointed, Leonard Mendelssohn, among others.
Was this...
We were appointed for a 6-year term.
And...
As soon as I got on the board, the teacher struck. Oh, yes. It's been quite an experience. I didn't tell you about my wife. Yeah.
No, we did skip that. Do you want to...
Are we skipping too much?
Let's discuss some more about the Board of Education.
All right.
And we'll go back to...
Okay.
You were appointed in...
I was appointed in November, and then there was a teacher strike.
And then the issue came up about the elected board.
About the elected board, and I had to decide whether I wanted to run or not, and I so decided to throw my hat in the ring, and I was very lucky. There were 7 other candidates, and I happened to win the Democratic nomination for the elected school board. Thank God there are more Democrats than there are Republicans.
What are your feelings about having an elected school board over an appointed?
My feelings are very ambivalent, I confess to you. They're ambivalent because in the short run it's a good thing, maybe a great thing. In the long run, I see danger. I'm afraid that in the long run, we could have a political situation such as we have in various governments. I'm thinking of the state government with its unfortunate scandals. With 9 school board members, each of whom is, I suppose, susceptible of influence by others, unless people of stature and people of intense devotion, get in and stay in, it could become a political football. You have to remember that this budget, the budget of the board, involves over $150 million a year with all kinds of contracts. And an unscrupulous person has untold means of manipulating contracts, or at least could attempt to do that. This is what I fear in the long run. Now, in the short run, the elected board is...